right, you know what it's time for right now. We got the Hawks taking on the Wild, coming your way in about 2 hours right here on 720 WGN. But before we do that, we check in with our old friend Eddie Olchek. Edzo.
Hey, Eddie.
Hi, Anna. Bro, old? What is old? Like, there was a little emphasis on the old.
Old.
Like
it's our old friend.
I'm an 8-year-old claimer at Hawthorne, or what? Is that what I am, or what?
$5,000 claimer. No,
Just for the record, full disclosure, you are talking to a gelding, by the way, just for the record.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I get how that goes. and I would say that you are in horse parlance. You're a bold-faced type. Stakes winner. That's what you are, my friend. That's what you are. Hey, you know, I would be remiss if I did not mention, right before we get to the Hawks here, there's a very, very big and important horse race. You know, Eddie is involved very much in the horse racing industry as an owner, but also as a broadcaster for NBCSN and NBC Networks when they do the Triple Crown. And the Florida Derby is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Florida Derby may be the race that creates your top right now the horses that are most likely to be in the Kentucky Derby. You've got three or four of them right now running in the Florida Derby on Saturday, and maybe the one that everybody keeps talking about, this Mohyman, is one that is and this is going to be, it's very interesting because they're shipping in a horse from California for this race to take him on. And whoever wins that then it becomes, I think, the odds-on favorite for the Derby, don't you think?
Without a question. I mean, if the Kentucky Derby was run tomorrow, Rowan, Anna, there's no question it would be Mohyman and Nyquist. Actually, Nyquist is the California horse you're talking about, and he is named after the forward for the Detroit Red Wings, actually, Gustav Nyquist. So there's a little bit of a hockey tie there.
Sure.
The owner, Paul Redham, is from Windsor, Ontario, and a big Red Wings fan. So you're right. I mean, this very, very rarely in this stage where you have the Florida Derby on Saturday is where you have arguably the two best horses, three-year-olds, getting ready for the first Saturday in May and the Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby, running against each other, and they're both undefeated. So it is must-watch television, whether you're a horse racing fan or not, because you get a pretty good idea of what might happen in just over 6 weeks in Kentucky, in Louisville. So it's going to be a heck of a day, and I'm glad I have the day off that day. So I'm going to be sitting on my couch and playing Express Bet and get my feet wet all day long.
Wait, bro, you forgot the little.
Yes. Oh, trust me. I'll be playing Express. That's what I do every Saturday now. I sit on my iPhone, and I play Express Bet. I have two apps. I got my Express Bet app, and then I also go over to the Daily Racing Forum, and I look at. I try to figure out what I'm doing, so I don't do dumb stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they had a $5 million. There was a $5 million minimum payout
on
a pick six at Gulfstream last weekend, where if you picked the, I think it started with the seventh race, you picked the correct 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Okay.
If you picked the winner in those.
Sure. That's probably like getting the Powerball correct.
$5 million. I mean, it was crazy.
I got to start playing this, apparently. Is it like FanDuel or DraftKings?
It's illegal.
And it ended up getting up to, the pool ended up getting it to $15 million, actually, now this is the most important thing, on a 20-cent wager. 20
what?
Cents.
Yeah.
20 cents. And it ended up paying 20 cents, ended up paying $89,800-some. How would I know that? Well, I did play it, and unfortunately I was 5 of 6 on a couple of minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's worse than being 0 for 6, being 5 for 6.
Yeah.
I got to play this.
20 cent
not
deal.
That I know
not
anything.
Bad. Not bad.
No, it's
not
really
bad.
Great. It's fun. And I mean, horse racing is legal. See, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to bet on, some second string wide receiver somewhere, that's, that's one thing. But this is all completely legal.
This is completely legal. And it's skill-based, too, I bet, too,
well,
just like the other.
There's a little bit of luck. Although Eddie and I seem to think it's about skill. But look at us now. We're sitting here. We don't have these horses sitting in the Kentucky Derby. We're just looking at each other going, oh, that's Nyquist. Oh, she's a good horse. He's a good horse.
Not your horse.
Yeah, he's a good horse.
That horse.
Yeah, he's a good horse.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's go back to the Blackhawks, shall we?
Yeah.
They're on a roll. I feel like that March gloom that we've seen the last couple of seasons seems to have lifted. There's still, some confusion and some concern, I think, about what the what the goalie situation is going to be here, right? I mean, Corey Crawford obviously has been out, and Scott Darling has, I believe, turned a corner. How hard is that, Eddie, for a guy who is spending most of his time on the bench, wearing the baseball hat, sitting sideways, you know, kind of waiting for his moment to come in, and then he's got to come in, and you know, it's sort of an undetermined amount of time that he's got to become the starter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a lot there. First off, I think the team-wise, yeah, they've won a couple of games in row here, but I think talking to the players and to the coaching staff here, Roe and Anna's, you know, I think that they certainly know that they have to go to another level. I mean, you get two teams against, you know, get two wins against two teams that are at the bottom of the National Hockey League. And I don't want to say it was a struggle in both games, but I mean, I don't want to say a little too close for comfort, but I still think that the Hawks have another level that they're going to have to go to before the end of the season. Now, in saying that, you're right. Besides, you know, getting healthy and getting the line combinations in, you know, you have to figure out where guys are going to be playing, who's going to be playing. And then you mentioned Corey Crawford. I mean, I don't know the situation with what's going on with Corey, but with for Scott Darling in particular, that's your job. And you may sit there for two, three weeks at a time, and all of a sudden Joel will tap you on the shoulder. You got to be ready to go. And look, I mean, Scott Darling now is his net right now until we get further word or when Corey Crawford's going to get back and, get back in goal. So I don't think it's overly difficult. I think probably the greatest challenge for him now is changing his routine of going from a backup to a starter, and your preparation is probably a lot different now than it would be as if you were a backup goaltender.
There's a report out right now, Eddie O, that says that Corey Crawford has a head injury, is dealing with a head injury, and that he's day-to-day. They don't know when he'll be playing again. Mm-hmm. But then you also hear from the team saying, we don't feel like we have a backup in Scott Darling because he's playing that well now and he's stepping up and can step up. We've seen it.
Well, last season.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah, look what happened last year in the playoffs when Corey struggled early against Nashville, Anna. Scott Darling came in and did an incredible job for, you know, whatever, 3-4 games that he played. And that's what you need. It's a team. And whether it's, you know, Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews struggling, somebody else has got to step up and have to help those players. And it's no different as a goaltender. Look, Scott Darling has proven himself in a short period of time that he looks to be a goaltender that can carry the load at the most pressure point time, like last year in the playoffs, or in a situation here where the Blackhawks haven't been playing all that great and haven't been scoring a lot of goals. And, you know, he's done the job. So, you know, look, I think the team has a lot of confidence. And I said this to both of you before, is that I don't think that this roller coaster year for the Blackhawks, and maybe even if you want to go since the 12-game franchise best winning streak of 12 games, some 26 or 27 games ago, and the Blackhawks have been, you know, a game or two under 500 since that time. It has nothing to do with goaltending. I mean, the goaltending all year long, and look, there's been some games where they've given up some bad goals. It's inevitable, but the goaltending is the least, in my eyes, in the chair I sit in every night, is the least of the problems for the Blackhawks down the stretch and into the playoffs.
What I like, though, is you got some fresh skates and minds on the problem. I know it's the skates, probably the wrong word, but Marcus Kruger's back. You've got, I think that Ladd is playing. What a great acquisition he is for a playoff run. And it does change, right? I mean, you've been in this situation both as a player and a coach and in the Stanley Cup and all that. I mean, this is a situation where you have to, I'm assuming, right, that once the playoffs start, there's a very different mindset.
Well, it is, but I think the concern is that, you know, and I've been on teams, and I'm just speaking from, you know, from experience of playing, is that, I mean, you can't, I shouldn't say you can't. There are very few teams in the history of the National Hockey League, and I think I happen to be on one of the teams in 1994 that won a Stanley Cup, is that we were able to turn it on and off because we had a lot of experience and we were just way better than everybody else. I think there is a concern that mindset is that if you think you can go ahead and turn it on, after just, you know, laboring into the playoffs, you know, you got a different thing coming. You know, people always go back to last year and how the Blackhawks limped into the playoffs. Well, they limped into the and started playing that way. Remember, I mean, they got down in game one, they had to, so it wasn't exactly where they just all of a sudden, you know, turned it on. It took an incredible performance and long relief by Scott Darling to get them that first game, and then the rest is history. So, but I just think that, yeah, you're right. A lot of changes. Guys trying to fit in, Joel trying to figure out where guys are going to fit in here. You get Kruger back. You're trying to figure out who's going to play with Brent Seabrook on that second defensive pairing. You know, what's going to happen with Corey Crawford. But those are things when guys are injured, you can't control, and it's next man up. That's the mentality because, look, there's 29 other teams in the National Hockey League are looking and going, hey, we got injuries too, so yeah. You got to figure it out, regardless if it's your starting goalie or, you know, you lose your best centerman or your best defenseman.
Okay, since it's the Wild tonight, very, very important thing that the Minnesota Wild and the Chicago Blackhawks are involved in here. This charity for Matt Olson, he's the kid who was playing juniors on the Chicago Cougars, and he had an awful injury as he slid headfirst into the boards, spinal cord injury that is, you know, catastrophic. And
left him paralyzed.
He needs he and his family need help putting stuff back together. The Hawks got together with the Wild. And this just tells you a little something about the important camaraderie that is also the National Hockey League. Got together, and they've put up a series of unique, one-of-a-kind experiences, including traveling on the team jet with the players to a game, being in the locker room, the player for a day, all that kind of stuff. And the bidding is going on now through tomorrow. Go to WGNradio.com/events, and you can find out how you can do that, or go to Matt Olson's GoFundMe page to try to help this family out. Pretty special thing.
And they're apparently going to be there. Well,
it is. It's just one of those things where hockey comes together, and hockey is family. Rowan, Anna, and you know, for Matt, for people that don't know, as you mentioned, he's playing junior hockey in Chicago, and he's a Minnesota native, and that's why the Wild and the Blackhawks got together for this. You know, for this great initiative, and I tip my hockey helmet to Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough and Jay Blunk, and then also for the Minnesota Wild ownership group with Mr. Leopold and Matt Maka, the COO, and said, hey, look, you know what? Yeah, they're battling. The Minnesota Wild have beat the Blackhawks 4 times this year. They're looking to make it 5. But you know what? They've come together here to help Matt and his mom and dad. I met his brother here. He lives in Minnesota here, Steve, today, and they couldn't be more appreciative and thankful for all the support that all of the National Hockey League and its great fans have given them on Matt's GoFundMe page or being a part of these, you know, these great auction items on both websites. Look, if you live in Chicago and you're a Minnesota native, you can go to the Minnesota Wild website and they have the same exact auction item there for you to bid on. And it's going to go to a great cause. And again, I couldn't be more proud of the Blackhawks in a while through this great initiative. And as well, I better say is that, you know, Andrew Shaw and Andrew Desjardins, two of the three Andrews on the Blackhawk roster, went and visited Matt a couple of weeks ago in his hospital at Lutheran General Hospital out there in Park Ridge. And, you know, Matt is very alert from obviously the neck up. And when both those guys came in, it happened to be the day after the Blackhawks-Kings game, and all Blackhawk fans remember the Kings won 5-0 that game. Both players walked in there. They presented Matt with a Blackhawk jersey and Olson on the back and his number 3. And and the Andrews were in there, and Matt broke the ice for both those players and said, hey, pretty much in a very low tone, said, what happened last night? You know, a typical hockey player chirping other hockey players in that situation, knowing that the Blackhawks had had lost that night. But we're thinking about Matt and any support people can give Matt and his family. They need it. And like I said, I couldn't be more proud of the initiative here with the Blackhawks and Wild.
The players tonight apparently going to have stickers on their helmets to show their support for Olson during the recovery process. And his family's going to be there to give the traditional let's play hockey call start of the game.
All right. Let us, again, mention that go to WGNRadio.com/contest. They've got all the information is right there that can explain. It's actually on our front page, too, at WGNRadio.com. Mm-hmm. It does that. So we just did a little bit of – see, I feel better. We started talking about horses and gambling.
and you feel so much – you are. Your now, whole demeanor has shifted.
Right, and now we're actually helping out a kid and his family who really, really, really need it. But I got to go back to horses for just a second, Eddie. Did you the horse that won the Louisiana Derby, the Gun Runner?
Uh-huh.
They've ranked him number 1. What do you think? Yes?
No. I'm not buying. If you're buying or selling, I'm not buying that.
All right. Okay.
We'll shut you down
as we get closer to this. And it's so cool because, you know, you got Eddie. He's going to be down there. He's going to be in Louisville for the Kentucky Derby. I know he's going to get some great insight. Hopefully this horse my horse partner, Ron Majors, bred along with Robert Marcocchio, the horse named Zulu. Is in the hunt. We're still not quite sure. And we don't have anything to do with that horse anymore. But Ron just got on the cover of one of the big daily horse racing newspapers.
Ooh.
And you know, talking about is the breeding operation, which, by the way, ring that bell. Thank you, Ron Majors and Robert Marcocchio.
I'll have to check out Express Bet now. You guys got me all excited about the prizes.
That's with an X, by the way. Express Bet. All right. Thank you, Eddie. We'll talk to you soon.
Eddie.
All right. Have a great night. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it,
thanks,
guys.
Bye. Okay. Because they did. It's a funny thing because, you know, Ron's on television.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one newscast now for 40 years essentially, in his career. For 40 years, between Minnesota and here.
Uh-huh.
For 40 years, he's been number one. And he gets on the cover of a horse racing, a daily, not daily racing form, but another horse racing sort of magazine newspaper.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of his, good picture of him. You know, mostly a digital subscription base.
Well, I would think.
And he's sending it to all of us. Oh, my God, look.
He's so proud.
I made it. I'm like, you made it already. He said, no, now I really made it.
Well, he's passionate about it, right?
Yes.
For years he's been involved in horse racing.
And now he's got one that could go to the Kentucky Derby, and that is really something. That's what everybody hopes for. And we wish them the best of luck.